Father, we just ask that your presence would be with us always, and when you're ready to leave, Father, let us know, God, that we might be ready to go with you. Help us to walk in the light as you are walking in the light, that we just might walk right out of here. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we spoke concerning perfect faith by a perfect word, and we showed that in order to come into perfect faith, we must have a perfect word. We further showed how that God himself, who is that which is perfect, and we know that when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away, which he is a perfect word, that he came down himself in this hour to give us a present and to present to us, along with his perfect presence, his perfect word, to bring forth a perfect faith for a rapture. Therefore, this evening I wish to speak on rapturing faith and show that rapturing faith is the culmination of our perfect faith, which comes by perfect trust in a perfect God through his perfect word. Now let's take for our text tonight 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." And we know that the shout is a message, and it is a perfect word because God vindicated it to be so. And we know that while his presence is still here, that he also came with the voice of the archangel. And we know, according to God's vindicated prophet, that the voice of the archangel is the voice of the resurrection, and that his presence will lead us from the message into the resurrection. And then, as the Apostle Paul says, "And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now this entire rapture scenario that the Apostle Paul is speaking on here says not one word about our having a thing to do with any one of these events. You simply don't have a hand in it. It is all about what God is here to do. Yet so many people think that rapturing faith is something that the bride will either create within herself, or somehow she will muster up this faith for herself. But I see no scripture for that interpretation. The Bible simply says, "For the Lord himself shall." And we're talking this evening about rapturing faith. Now, Brother Bram said in his sermon, "Spiritual Food in Due Season," he said, "We are dedicating this service tonight for prayer for the sick, and I want you to get built up now in the holy oracles of God." Now, what are the holy oracles of God? It's God's Word. And so it continues, "In the faith, the faith of this hour." And so I would ask the question, what is the faith except the faith of the Son of God? And having the same faith as he had for his own resurrection, we are going to have for our resurrection and rapture in this hour. And then Brother Ram adds, "The faith is going to take more faith than ever was in any age, for this has to be rapturing faith to be taken up." And so we want you to believe tonight in all that you have seen and heard, the word that you have heard preached, the signs and wonders that you've seen done. We want you to accumulate all that together in your heart and consider it, whether it be that it be God or not. So I ask you this question: how much of what you saw and what you have heard did you produce yourself? Zero. None. Right? You are just required to believe what you have heard being preached and to believe what you have seen with your own eyes. And what did you hear and what did you see? You saw and heard what God was doing through a vessel. The vessel didn't do those things. God did those things. The vessel did not come down with a shout. God himself descended with the shout. from Anointed Ones at the End Time, and you know this probably by heart by now. But Brother Ram said, now, I want you to know this is sure. And you that are listening to this tape, you might have thought tonight that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. But I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, because I wanted to be a tracker. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down in the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that is near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to, that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh, no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was a mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man. It's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words would fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. If you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength to fly over all these denominationals and things of the world, will you at this time do it while we pray? Now notice that the same God who came down with the shout will also do the voice and the trump of God. Now Brother Brown continues in Spiritual Food in Due Season by saying, it's like Elisha of old that said, if God be God, then serve him. And if Jesus is the center of all things to the Christian, then I think we ought to let loose of everything else and cleave to him. Now remember, he is the center. He is the North Star. He is the ultimate. He is the absolute. And if he is the North Star, there's only one thing that will point you to the North Star, and that's your compass that you're sailing with. And the compass that I'm trying to sail with is the Word. And the Word always points to him. You see, when people begin to point to a vessel other than him, that's idolatry. Now, we read this morning from Brother Bram's sermon, Perfect Faith, paragraph 45, where Brother Bram said, and so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world, and he becomes a new creature in Christ. There, now you're getting into bride material. You see, you're getting into rapturing condition now. How? Simply by living by faith and by walking by faith. Not pressing yourself into some great faith. Not working yourself up into some mantra. You know? No. Simply by living and walking. Living and walking in faith. Notice, then he is not talking about what we do, but what we are focused on. We live because Christ lives in us. We walk because we're walking in the light as he is in the light. Not what we're focused on. Not what we do. It's what he's doing. The people of Israel that walked into the promised land, they followed the pillar of fire. That's all they had to do. They just followed the pillar of fire. And that is what I want to make clear this evening. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God, the creator of heavens and earth. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The same apostle said, our focus is to be on the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's it. Your focus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Hebrews 12 and 2 tells us, looking unto, focusing our attention on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then he tells us how that Jesus had to have the same faith that we are to have. And that having that faith, he was able to endure until the end. Who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The same Bible tells us, he will make ready a prepared people. Also he tells us, he which began the work in you will perform it. You have nothing to do with the performance. He doesn't. Jesus saw one person healed, and he walked past 300 to just lay hands on that one person and to heal that one person. They said, why did you pass everybody else up? What I see the Father do, that's what I do. Then it's not you doing it. It's the Father worketh in me. See? And so the wise virgin, when they heard the midnight cry, which is the shout, she just went out into his presence, and she went with him into the wedding supper of the Lamb. All she had to do was just come to that voice. He's calling, come. He's calling, come. All the Father draws will come. She just went into his presence. That's it. And then she went with him to the wedding supper. While the foolish virgin began their works efforts to try to get into his presence. The Apostle Paul told us in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he, which begun a good work in us, will perform it. He will perform it, not you performing it. He will perform it. How are you going to make a rapture? He's going to do it. He's going to do it in his time, in his season. We're in the season, so in his time. Now, this does not tell you that you will perform it. It tells you that he which began the work in you, it is this same one that will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, the day of Jesus Christ is the day that we go to meet him in the air. The Apostle Paul told us in Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able also to perform. Paul speaking about Abraham, 75 years old when God gave him the promise, 100 years old when the promise was delivered, 99 years old when he got a body change to bring him back so him and his wife could have relations and have a seed to pass on, because God gave him the seed. God gave him a body change. God gave him the seed. And God gave him the promised son. Now, if God gave him a body change before he gave him the promised son, isn't God obligated to do the same for you? It wasn't something that they drank. It wasn't some exercise they did. It wasn't some, you know, they have on TV all the time and those advertisements on the internet, you know, fountain of youth, you know, drink this and this and this and this and take this and this and this and this and this, and this and you'll be young again. No, I think you'll have clogged up arteries. What you do. And we as the bride of Jesus Christ in this hour, the elect of God, must also come to the same place where we are fully persuaded that whatever God has promised for us, God himself is also able fully to make it happen. Again, in the sermon, Perfect Faith, Brother Brown said that we read this morning, he said, are we going to walk into eternity like it was in the days of Noah with 8 souls saved? Are we going to come like Lot with 3 out of Sodom? Are we going to come like in the days of John the Baptist with 6 believers? Let us believe, for his works is perfect. They're manifested daily and perfectly before us, showing that he is the Word. The Word. Hebrews 4th chapter says, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and even a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now think of that. The Word of God is that. A discerner of the intents of the heart. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word was made flesh. Hallelujah. The Word operating in human flesh by physical signs, by material signs, by scriptural signs, perfectly to bring you... To bring you. It's that whole show that was put on by God was to bring you to a perfect faith for a perfect rapture. So you think perfect faith and rapturing faith is going to come outside this message? I don't think so. I don't think so. Again, in the sermon, Perfect Faith, he said, this is coming into that third pole. I'm believing it. And I want to ask you in a sincere question. You that pass through the prayer line, can you actually believe and feel now that there is something happening in you since that you've had hands laid on you? Now raise your hand. There it is. This is what we've waited for. Now, this is just starting to bloom now. Just starting to bloom. I did this for a purpose. I'm working out something. It's taking this charge of faith and going right back to begin and come in and see, to kind of raise faith in a bracket where you've never noticed it that way before. Notice a faith, but a perfect faith. Built it up here and watch a perfect God with a perfect heart keep a perfect promise by his perfect word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword and a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. What? We're coming now to the perfection. Because the people has to come to this in order for the rapture. That's what's holding it away right now, is waiting for the church to come into that perfect raptured faith. I'm looking for it. It means a lot of shaking down for me. It means a lot of shaking down for you. But together we'll make it by the grace of God. Amen. The great physician now is near the sympathizing Jesus. Lord Jesus, grant some in the presence of God. May your Holy Ghost ever make this pastor well and keep him healthy and strong for the service that you call him to. In Jesus' name, I'm claiming it, Lord. I love you. Now we hear words like, we're coming now to the perfection. And again, we look at that as being something that we do or something that we accomplish. But he's not talking about what we do, but rather what God has promised concerning us. And what God, who is the Word, was doing, such as the sign of Messiah, which you and I had nothing to do with that at all. And then we hear words like, well, because the people has to come to this in order for the rapture, that's what's holding it away right now, is waiting for that church to come into that perfect raptured faith. I'm looking for it. It means a lot of shaking down for me. It means a lot of shaking down for you. But together we'll make it by the grace of God. Notice. See, you're looking at the shaking down and you're saying, oh my, I'm going to have to shake myself. No. He says, we'll make it by the grace of God. Yeah, there'll be a lot of shaking down. But God's going to do it. Because it's God working in you to bring on His will. To bring on to do. His will to do. And when you hear the words like a lot of shaking down for you and me, we automatically think that we are the ones that have to do the shaking. But then if that were so, then where would we even begin? Where would you begin? No, it is God that does the shaking as He promised He would in Hebrews 12:26, whose voice then shook the earth. But now He hath promised, saying yet once more, I shake not the earth, but also the heavens. Who's doing the shaking? God is doing the shaking. So if it was the voice of God that shook the earth in past, and He is the same and changes not, then it will be the voice that does the shaking for us as well. When we approach that voice of the resurrection, you talk about a shaking. Everything you've been holding on to, you're just going to let go of. For we are of the earth and we are also of the heaven. I'm afraid that when we try to place ourselves as having to do anything to rapturing faith, we are getting off the beaten path of the Word of God. Therefore, I want to read this next quotation from Brother Branham, so that you can see that it is God which works in you both to will and to do, as the Apostle Paul told us in Philippians 2:13. Now, in his sermon Countdown, I want to read this very carefully. Brother Branham says, don't miss it, friends. Remember, listen at my voice. It'll haunt you all your life if you haven't got in. Out yonder when you're suffering for your punishment and weeping and gnashing of teeth, that voice will scream back and forth. You hear it all the time in that weary, spooky place of hell. Don't fail. Now's your opportunity. Now you know there's so many. I wonder if I could get. Would it be all right, you brothers, to pray for me? Help me pray for them? Now, is these ministers over there, over here? I wouldn't leave this place. Now look. I've said some pretty rough things about airplanes and automobiles. Now remember, they're horsepower too. All of it's horsepower. But the church is just moving up its Holy Ghost power. It's the Holy Ghost that we're justified by. You ministers know that, don't you? The Holy Ghost sanctifies you. The Holy Ghost fills you. The Holy Ghost gives us rapturing faith, see, as we move up. Now, I wouldn't leave this country here, and you all thinking, well, Brother Branham, something. I'm not. I ain't even worthy to set with them pastors. I have no schooling. I'm one out of season. And that's the reason God just lets me do this little thing here, just to confirm what your pastor's been teaching you. They're men of God. So all these people who place their trust in a man are not even sure if they are going to make it or not. Well, if he makes it, maybe we'll make it because we're with him. Oh, Brother Brown, we're counting on that. Didn't they all say that? Mm-hmm. That they were looking at Brother Branham. Now listen, they're the ones that have gone on. We're the ones that have to be, the Holy Ghost justified you, the Holy Ghost sanctified you, the Holy Ghost filled you, and now the Holy Ghost is going to give me rapturing faith. He said, the same Holy Ghost that justifies you is the same Holy Ghost that sanctifies you, is the same Holy Ghost that fills you. It is the same Holy Ghost that will give us rapturing faith. So what have you got to do with it at all? Then accept, just to simply accept and receive what God has for you. Brother Steve, You believe you're justified, right? Why do you believe that? Because God's Word said so. And that settles it, right? Well, then, how are you sanctified? The Word tells us by the washing of water, by the Word. And Psalms 119 and 9 tells us, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word. So, did you do it? No. We're simply washed by the Word. And Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are life. So if the Holy Ghost justifies you, and if the Holy Ghost sanctifies you, and if the Holy Ghost fills you, then naturally, or according to nature, the nature of the Holy Ghost, He will also give you rapturing faith. And by what process? By the same process that saved you and justified you and sanctified you and filled you. That same one will also glorify you. That's the Word of God. Just look at the promise of God in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He also called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. It's done. It's done. Because God already ordained it. It's a done thing. All you have to do is believe what He said. So who does the calling? It's the same one that does the justifying. And who does the sanctifying? It's the same one that causes us to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, to be thus glorified or filled with the doxa of God. God does it all. It is God working in you to will and to do. Then Paul asks, what shall we then say about these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not be with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or guns? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There you have it. He said, I will be with you always, amen, even until the end of the consummation of the ages. Is He here? He said He would be. And a vindicated prophecy, the pillar of fire, will lead us to the Lord. Brother, sister, either He's still leading, or Brother Bram lied. And if Brother Bram lied, then God's vindication ain't worth diddly squat. From Look Away to Jesus, Brother Bram said, it is so sacred that I mustn't not say much about it. As he told me in the beginning, he said, this say nothing about it. You remember that years ago, it speaks for itself, see? But I tried to explain to the others and I made a mistake. This will be the one thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord told me this, this will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. See? Now, and that I must lay quiet for just a while. Now remember, and who's listening to this tape, you might see such a change in my ministry right away, dropping back, not going up, dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time's come, but it's thoroughly identified. Now, talking about the third pole, which was in all experiences with it, it was the speaking of the Word or the life being projected or imparted. Now, what did the squirrels have to do with being created and given life? Not a thing. What did the little fish do to get resurrected? Not a thing. What did Hattie Wright's boys do to get saved? Not one thing. One minute they were snickering, and the next thing they were crying over their mother's lap. From his sermon, The Token, Brother Bram said, that's an outstanding scripture to me. And now I have many, many scriptures here, wrote down, and some notes, that I'd like to talk a few minutes from. And I would just like to make it like a Sunday school lesson so that we'll clearly understand. And I'm looking for a time of a breaking forth of the Spirit of God in these last days that we're now living in, for another surge of the Holy Spirit into the church for a rapturing faith. So who's going to do it? He's going to do it. Just before it comes. And everything is setting straight in order for that. And I believe that we're now at the time that the Word should have preeminence. I believe that the time to lay aside our creeds and our thoughts and come back to the Word. So again, we see that Brother Branham was looking for the rapturing faith in the church to be brought about by the Holy Ghost itself. Who came down with the shout? The Holy Ghost. Who moves the shout into the voice of the resurrection? The Holy Ghost. Who moves from the voice of resurrection to the trump? The Holy Ghost. What is the trump? It's the gathering together. How do we gather together? Because the Holy Spirit gets us to moving together. It's Him. It's Him working in you to will and then to do. And from his sermon once more, Brother Brown says, he basically says the same thing, that it will be a move of the Holy Spirit among the people that will produce the rapturing faith. He said, Lord Jesus, great master of life, the shepherd of sheep, come forth, Lord. These people are hungry, they're thirsting, Lord. Years I've wanted to see this happen, maybe it will, just once more, Lord. Once more, great move of the Holy Spirit. One more time, Lord, and the church might receive the rapturing faith to go in. Grant it, Lord, make known that you're with us, and we'll praise thee for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The only assurance you should be praying for is that you're in his presence. Lord, make sure that we're aware of your presence. From a sermon, Why Christ Speak, he said, now hundreds and hundreds of years ago, or before God has said that Israel would sojourn and be mistreated in a strange country and would stray there for 400 years, but God with a mighty hand would bring them out. So you see, with this burning bush, Moses knowed this intellectually, and the seed that was born in him was laying in his heart, and he tried through his intellectual experience with the Word to try to bring them out, to deliver them. Because he knew that he was born for that purpose. He knew that the time of the Scripture all said that they'd already been there 400 years, just as we know now, as a man asked me a few moments ago about the coming and the rapture. We know that we've lived the time out. The time of the rapture is at hand. And we're looking for the rapturing faith that can pull the churches together and give it some supernatural strength that can change these bodies that we live in. We see a God that can raise the dead off the floor or out in the yard and bring him back to life again and present him before us. When we see a God who can take a cancer that eats a man to a shadow and raise him up to a strong, healthy man, that ought to give rapturing faith to the people. That when the light flashes from the sky and the trumpet sounds, the body of Christ will be quickly gathered together and changed in a moment and taken into heavens. Yes, there's got to be something like that happen, and our schools of theology can never produce that. Yet they intellectually, they're all right. But you've got to meet that light. You've got to find that something. It's all about God. It's all about Him. Again, we see that it will not come by intellectual thing, or as we read in Zechariah, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And from his sermon, Lord, just once more, Brother Brown said, we've got the members, but they're weak. They love things of the world better than they do the things. You say, oh no. Oh, now look upon the churches and find out. Don't try to deny it. Your action speaks more than your words does. Oh yeah, got more members, bigger muscles, but where is the strength of the Lord? Your big muscles won't meet the challenge of this hour, the rapturing faith to take the church out of this thing before the judgment strikes the earth, and judgment's fixing to strike it. I'll say, as my friend Jack Moore said, if God lets America get by with the things that it's doing now, he'll be morally obligated to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to it for burning her up. Right. Judgment is next. So then if the church doesn't have the power to get her out of here, then our only hope is he that made the promise will perform it. As Brother Bram said in his sermon, Unrecognized Presence, he said, working for this one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. See? Because if he's present, then why, everything is settled. He made the Word, and he's here to confirm it. And then he said in the message, same message, if we could realize that to us in these meetings for one purpose, and that is to release our desires that we have in Him back to us. But we've got to recognize His presence. And how do you recognize His presence? Is when the promised word for this age is made manifest. Again, from a sermon God provided way, Brother Branham said, we are in the presence tonight, His presence tonight, and He's here to confirm and make good any promise that He made for us for this day. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice all these words about His presence, the purpose, the very purpose for Him being here, is to bring to pass His promised word. And from a sermon influence, Brother Branham is quoting God to Abraham. He said, I made you a promise, and now I'm here to confirm it. And now, how we know that promise is to go. Now watch that. They were waiting. Just before the fire fell, Abraham and Sarah was waiting for a promised son. God appeared in human flesh and done signs before them that Jesus referred to would be the same thing at His coming, that He is the Son promised. And we've noticed that now, for going on 15 years, and still the churches get worse. No wonder we can actually see that we're in the Laodicean age. And from a sermon from that time, he said, and if we can just see, the one who made us all these grand promises is here to confirm these promises. Now listen, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, I've read you three quotes already. The very purpose of God here is to confirm His word. He's got to transform you by the renewing of your mind. He's got to conform you to the image of the firstborn son. He's got to make you to manifest as sons of God. He's got to bring you to the place of adoption. And from his sermon, Jesus Christ is saying, he said, do you believe someday that He'll come in and make us free? I do too. Come to the grave and open the doors, I'll come out from among the dead. I'm trusting Him. He's here tonight. Isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to take some human philosophy? We got a Bible here that speaks of this. And here He is to identify His church, to give it rapturing faith to be taken away. So we see by all of these quotes and more that if it was God who called you and justified you and sanctified you, then it will be God who will give you rapturing faith to glorify you. And He is here to do it. From the first seal, Brother Brown makes a statement that many have wrestled to their own destruction. He said, and then there's coming forth seven mysterious thunders. That's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's something that we've got to step forward. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in the moment and be swept up out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. I have news for you. Brother Branham said, those seven thunders were revealed in the seven seals. It's all been there. God's already done those things. And as a result of that one quote, though, we have many who have come on the scene and say that they have the answer, and they know what the seven thunders are, and that will produce the rapturing faith, and so they're just very, very wrong. And they try to work the people up by emotion into some frenzy, thinking that they're working up faith. You can't work up faith, brother, sister. Faith is a belief. You either believe or you don't believe. The same Holy Spirit who came down with a shout will also bring forth the voice that resurrects the dead. And He's the same Spirit that will also produce the trump that will glorify us and catch us away. So just sit back, my friends, and keep your focus on His Spirit and walk in the light as He is in the light, because He's in that same light. We sing that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. From accepting God's provided way, Brother Brown tells us that God has a provided way to bring us to the rapturing faith. He said God provided a way that He might bring the believers to a rapturing faith. God's way. His provided way to bring believers to rapturing faith. And we've already established that God Himself will do it. Is this a sign of the end, sirs? Brother Brown said, is the mystery all finished? Has the sounding all over? Is that really them seven thunders fixing to utter out something that the little group that He's gathered together will receive a rapturing faith to go in the rapture when it comes? For we'll be changed as quick as those angels come. In a moment, in twinkling of an eye, and shall be caught up together with those that is asleep to meet the Lord of the air. My prayer is, God, if this be so, I don't know, Lord. I just telling the church, if it be so, Lord, prepare our hearts, make us ready, Lord, for that great hour that all the history of time, all the prophets and sages has looked forward to that time, Lord, and I don't know what to say. In other words, it's not the people preparing. It's not the people like pumping up, you know, and then we're going to make it. It's going to come in the twinkling of an eye, the change. But God's going to do it. The same God who did it for Abraham and Sarah and made them young again. The same God is going to make you young again. Now notice he speaks of the thunder, but then he says, you prepare us, Lord. So God will do it by his word and by his spirit. But woe to him who thinks that he has it all figured out on how it's going to be done. So don't try to make it this, that, or the other. Just let go and let God. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And when God opens the door for us, if you are a son of God, you'll be led right into that door. Again in a sermon, is this a sign of the end, sirs? He says, where are these at, sirs? What is all of this about? I'm asking you. The other angels was messengers, men of the earth. But this angel, this said to the angel of the church of Laodicea, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, messengers of the earth. See? Men, messengers, prophets, and so forth to the church. But this one didn't come from the earth. He came down from heaven because the mystery is all finished. And when the mystery is finished, the angel said, time shall be no more. And seven thunders throw their voices out. What if it is something to let us know how to enter into that rapturing faith? Is it? Will we run and leap over walls? Is there something fixing to happen and these old, marred, vile bodies are going to be changed? Can I live to see it, Lord? Is it so close that I'll see it? Is this the generation? Sirs, my brethren, what time is it? Where are we? In this next quote, I want you just to look at the assurances that we have. Because he's talking about rapturing faith, and he says, don't worry. It'll be there. From questions and answers on the Holy Ghost that Hattie wrote the other day, she didn't ask for nothing. She was just sitting there, but she said the right thing, which pleased the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke back and said, Hattie, ask anything that you will, whatever you got and you want. Find out whether this is real or not. Ask anything. The healing of her little crippled sister sitting there, all drawn up, $10,000 to keep her from digging on them hills over there. The youth restored to her well-run down body. Whatever you want to ask, you ask it right now. If it don't come and give it to you right now, then I'm a false prophet. That's something, isn't it? Jesus said, say to this mountain. And you've heard about what's been taking place. That's the ministry that we're entering into. We're way up the road now, soon the coming of the Lord, and we've got to have rapturing faith in the church that can be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye to go out, or will not go. But don't worry, it'll be there. It'll be there. And when the power of this church rises, it'll bring its brethren. The power of that church rises will bring its brethren. The power of that church will bring it the other brethren. Then there'll be a general resurrection. We're looking forward to that. And finally, in a sermon, God has provided way, Brother Branham said. And now we're moving right on into another great age, the coming for the rapture of the church. And in this, we're living in the time of the restoration of the gifts. It stumbled many of the big fine churches that sent Nazarene backwards. It made fanatics out of a lot of Pentecostals. But just the same, God is moving right on, bringing in the rapturing faith for his church. That's right. So tonight, I represent that faith. The faith that was once delivered to the saints in the way of the divine gift. Which, to my opinion, gifts and callings, not my opinion, but the Bible says gifts and callings are without repentance. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't make yourself blue eyes when you're brown. Got brown. You're just what you are by the grace of God. You can't even come to God without God calling you first. You can't seek God without God seeking you first and calling you. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. So God is seeking. Therefore, brothers and sisters, all I can say to you is just relax and stay focused on him. For when the time comes, he which has begun the work in you will finish it. For as the Apostle Paul said, it is God that works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And since you are justified by his Spirit working in you, and you are sanctified by his Spirit working in you, then you will also be glorified by his same Spirit working in you. So just let go and let God. And finally, in closing, this quote from Brother Branham's sermon, it just says it all. From a sermon, man that can turn on the light, he said, I've seen it come to the spot to where I didn't know where to move next. But he's always present. The never-failing presence, he's always there. He can turn on the light, yes sir. He's just waiting, see, what you're going to do. He can flip the switch at any time that he wants to, yes sir. He's a man here that can turn on the light. Those who sit in the regions of the shadows of death, some of them under cancer, some of them under the death of denomination, some of them under creeds, death, some of them under traditional death, and all them kinds of death, and they have seen a great light. The man that flashed the lights then is the same one who said in the beginning, let there be light. That same God yesterday, today, and forever, and he's present today, right here now. Don't get scared. He can turn on the light. When the persecution comes, don't get scared. There's a light that said that he catches people away. She'll not go through the tribulation. She'll never do it. He said she wouldn't. He said she wouldn't. She'll be caught away. How are they going to do it, Brother Brown? Looks awful dark. No matter how dark it gets, if you can't see your hand before you, just remember there's a man here that can turn on the light, that can rapture that church. The one who's going to rapture the church is already here. Turn your eyes upon him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for being here. That's the most precious thing that we have is your presence. Because you are the Word. We have your Word and your presence guiding us through this dark and dismal age that we're living in. Again, Father, we pray for those people in that Baptist church that were assassinated today by some hateful, godless person who came in and killed 27 people and wounded 30 others. For just the spite, just their hate of you, Father. But Father, we know that you've kept us in the palm of your hand. And you've kept us safe. And we know that we have a rapture, Father. That we're ordained for a rapture, not for a persecution. So we commit ourselves and we turn our eyes upon thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The brothers could bring forth the elements at this time. We'll open our Bibles to John 13. The reading of the scriptures.